To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. The Adventures of Alibi Jones continue. This is a science fiction podcast, and I read to you from my work. We are into part two of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present this week. Alibi Jones has accidentally traveled back through time, and he's about to face a dangerous killer who's preparing to strike. That would be his father, B.C., the Vatican assassin. Alibi is soon going to learn that a hitman for the Pope isn't exactly what you'd call approachable. That's coming up in part two of our standalone story, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. Remember, you can support this podcast on Patreon. And right now, one of the things I've added as a gift as you join at the $5 or above level is a free audiobook. You get a free copy of the Vatican Assassin audiobook. I'm going to be doing a lot more of that too, giving away more audiobooks as part of my Patreon. So if you want to find out more about Patreon, more about Glow in the Dark Radio there, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I will be at Balticon next weekend. I hope you have a chance to come join me. I know a lot of people who are into podcasting make their way to Balticon, so maybe you'll be there. I'm going to be doing a live reading, and I'm on like 5 different panels. Starts on Friday afternoon at 6. I'll be doing writing scripts based on your own work, as I help talk about turning your fiction into a script. Then on Sunday, my reading comes around at 1 o'clock. And then I do a whole bunch of panels. Sunday at 2, I've got Why the Storyteller Needs a Narrator, talking about narrating audiobooks. Sunday at 3, I've got A History of Podcasting. We'll be talking about a history of podcasting. And I'm going to help other writers learn how to read their stuff better with improving your readings. Sunday at 5 o'clock. Then on Monday, at 10 a.m., I'll be doing The Future of Podcasting as we look ahead at the future of podcasting. So those are the panels I am on at Balticon. And once again, I will be there next weekend. You can get more details at balticon.org. Of course, I'm talking about audiobooks and narrating them because I now do professional voice work. If you would like your audiobook narrated by me, just get in touch. Or if you know somebody who's interested in having someone narrate their book, just point them towards my website, glowinthedarkradio.com. I've got a voice work page there. glowinthedarkradio.com/voice-work, but you can just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and follow the links. And that is all for news. Up next, part two of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present on Glow in the Dark Radio.
In the distant future, humanity entertains itself with countless hours of podcasts. But the podosphere is troubled. Corporate networks and true crime shows rule the iTunes rankings with an iron fist. The year is 2019. Our only hope, the Nostalgia Pilots.
Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast that for 100 years has fought the evils of outer space. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
Four podcasters fight back by watching and discussing classic giant robot anime.
Hey, do we have any of those cancers left? You know, the underwater ones?
Yeah. Thanks. That's what we need in this episode is more.
Drop a couple Saturn rockets to it. It'll be.
Their first mission, Toonami mainstay Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Oh my god, you're describing the Spice Girls.
See?
did it!
Suit up at NostalgiaPilots.com.
Now, here's Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC walked to the front of the echoing, empty cathedral, and then climbed up onto the altar. He rehearsed his mission in his thoughts as he looked back out over the empty pews. Pressure of it was more palpable now that the day was here. So many things need to go just right. Hope I can pull this one off. That'll mean more juicy assignments. Or it should. Juicier than this, anyway. BC lifted the candle snuffer and put out a candle on the Advent wreath next to the altar. An odd noise rang out from the unlit back of the church. Krang! BC forgot the candle and stared into the dark, alarmed. What was that? He crept down the aisle, peering into the darkness. He jumped when something clicked. That a door? Is someone here? BC reached the rear of the seemingly empty church. He looked back towards the altar, and the still-burning candle in the Advent wreath caught his eye. But the pews were empty.
Have to remember to put that out.
BC looked to both sides along the aisle at the rear of the church. Empty.
Still. Weirdest thing. I can feel them. Someone is here.
BC walked along the rear aisle. He almost stopped next to the wooden screen doors of one of the confessionals when he saw knees and lower legs behind the screen in the closet-like booth, but quickly started walking again. He didn't want to give his discovery away until he was ready.
Hiding, huh? Legs didn't look that big. Another assassin? That wouldn't make sense.
BC stopped and edged his way back along the rear wall towards the occupied confessional. He looked at the candle snuffer in his hand. Metal. Would work as a weapon if he needed it to. Would he need it?
Hope not. Could just be a troublemaking local kid.
BC opened the door. It was no kid. Young guy. Looked to be in his late 20s.
Dressed for jogging?
Who are you? BC asked in Spanish. Alibi Jones looked up from the small bench and gave a little wave. Hi, Alibi said.
Why is he speaking Spanish? And why can't I understand him?
You speak Spanish? Alibi asked.
English?
BC asked. You speak English? Who are you? Alibi didn't answer, too busy thinking.
My father! And he's young!
Speaking Spanish. Doesn't recognize me. Then again, why would he?
Man, definitely time traveled.
Alibi tried to read BC's expression.
Should I tell him who I am? Maybe I can't. Could mess up the time stream.
Could it? Alibi stood up. He tried to show a little swagger. I'm your backup, Alibi said, lying. BC? BC grew angry.
This kid knows who I am, and he's clearly bullshitting.
Yeah, right, BC said. I know what you are. Making a fist, BC pulled back his arm. He threw a quick pop at the guy's face.
Wham!
You're my new problem, BC said, as the younger man fell to the floor of the confessional, unconscious. Ugh. Alibi said, rocking his head slowly back and forth. He couldn't seem to move anything else. It wasn't that he was paralyzed or anything. It was just, you tied me up! Very observant of you, BC said, whoever you are.
I'm the guy tied up in your chair.
Alibi looked around. He assumed he was in BC's apartment in the rectory. Place looked like a holy hotel suite, as instead of crappy landscape paintings and pictures, there were portraits of Jesus and crucifixes on the walls. His chair was next to a small plain dinner table, along with two other chairs. On the table was a single place setting and a Christmas candle, a tall, thick white wax candle wrapped with holly, in the middle of the table.
Holy holly.
An old brown couch was nearby, angled toward a cheap entertainment unit. When Alibi twisted enough, he saw BC standing in the doorway of a kitchenette, and he saw part of a hallway on the right that led off to a bedroom and bathroom, presumably. Alibi looked down at himself, still in his jogging outfit. "You're awake," BC said. He walked over. "Good." BC leaned over the chair-bound Alibi. "So, who the fuck are you?" BC suddenly screamed in his face. Alibi turned his head away as much as he could to avoid the shouting. "Man," Alibi said, turning back, "you punch hard for a priest." "I work alone," BC said, angry. "No back up. So again, who are you?" The reality of the situation hit Alibi. Some true fear began to rise like bile in his gut. He was tied up in a chair, and his father, an assassin who had no idea who Alibi really was yelling at him, suspicious of him, and knew Alibi knew way too much about him. BC had no idea who this guy was. And why was he here now, jeopardizing BC's mission at the last second? One he'd been working months on.
"I might need to kill him. And soon."
"I'm Alexander, the kid said. "Alexander James. You can call me Al." "Yeah, well, listen, Al," BC said. "I've run you through everything. Everything." BC paused. "Should I even tell him? Let him know I know his secret? Ah, fuck it." "You don't exist," BC said, baffled and angry.
"There."
"No?" the kid asked. BC backed off a little.
"Well, he didn't sound surprised."
"Don't know how you've pulled that one off," BC said, "but you're going to tell me how you did it, if you want to live." The kid protested. "I'm not sure I can't." "Shut up," BC barked, interrupting. "You're also going to tell me how you know who I am, and how you got into a locked church." BC leaned back in to make his point. "Or you're dead." "Okay," the kid said, nervous.
"I have to tell him something."
"What do you know about time travel, BC?" The unexpected question knocked BC off his mental balance for a moment. He backed off a bit, looking dubious, but gathered his wits in a moment and grew angry again. BC whipped out a small, silver, pen-shaped wand and waved it around, displaying the item so Alibi could see it was an incredibly powerful, portable pen laser, a sort of deadly laser pointer. "Time travel?" BC asked. "No, I don't want to hear any bullshit about time travel." BC brought the pen in close to Alibi's face. "What do you know about lasers?" BC said, close up, sneering. "See this one? Can stun, kill, or vaporize with this versatile little thing. Keep talking. You have a little time while I decide which setting to use. But if you want more time, I do recommend you change the subject back to how you don't exist." Alibi tried to explain. He knew his life was on the line. He was also tired of being tied up. He tried to talk fast. "Look, I'm your relative," Alibi said. "From the future, honest to God, BC. Please don't shoot me. That's why I don't show up. I don't exist yet. I was, researching you and your, exploits. Just before, I found an artifact from these time travelers called the Devrisium. I accidentally touched it, and it must have read my mind somehow and brought me here to you. I time traveled. I didn't mean to be here. Alibi stopped for breath and to gauge BC's reaction. BC looked like he maybe believed Alibi, at least enough not to kill him. Really, BC said. Can't believe I'm even considering so. So then where's the artifact? Did it come with you? Has it conveniently disappeared? No, it's here. It's an alien box, Alibi said, over in the church. It's in one of those weird furnished closets in the back where you found me. That's how I got inside the church. I appeared there. I didn't even know it was locked. An intercom box on a nearby desk squawked to life. Father Campion, a tinny voice said in Spanish. Your visitor is here. Shit, BC swore. What did they say? Alibi asked. I have an implanted translator, but it's not working for some reason. They said I have a visitor, BC said. He walked around behind Alibi's chair and began to untie him. You're lucky, BC said. You get to live for now. We'll see if your box exists after I deal with this. BC nodded back over his shoulder to the hallway behind him. You need to change clothes so you'll blend in better. Down the hall's my room. Clothes in the dresser and closet. I'm taller, but they'll fit you okay. Change and then stay in there until I come get you. Alibi stood, trying to shake off the stiffness. He bent over, massaging his sore legs. Hurry up! BC barked.
Better not push my luck.
Alibi straightened up. He smiled over at BC, then hurried down the hall.
There's something about that kid. I want to believe him. Why do I want to believe him? What kind of relic?
BC's train of thought derailed as his visitor walked into his apartment unannounced.
Stefan! They sent me on up, Stefan said in Spanish.
Stefan dressed to look dangerous, like some stereotypical cartel hitman, dressed in a cheap dark blue suit with a crimson shirt. He wore his shaggy auburn hair shoulder length, with a better-groomed reddish goatee and mustache.
Come in, BC said, responding in Spanish. Come, sit down.
As BC led him over to the couch to sit down, Stefan took a small transparent box out of his suit coat pocket.
Thanks, Stefan said, switching to English. Found you what we talked about. Never used them before, you said.
Killbots? BC asked. Stefan nodded as they sat down.
No, never.
Stefan held up the small clear box in his hands for BC to see. In the box was a thin silver bracelet, almost a complete ring, with small round nubs at the ends of a break in the circle.
You'll love them. End up wanting to use them all the time, guarantee, Stefan said. So easy. Keep the bracelet on your wrist till needed, and deliver with a handshake.
Stefan dropped the box into his lap and demonstrated by circling his right wrist with his left thumb and forefinger. He slid his finger and thumb down onto his hand.
Drop the bracelet down until the nubs are on your palm, and then squeeze the nubs flat with your fingers.
He made a fist, closing his right fingers on top of his left thumb and forefinger.
Then, he let go of his right hand with a flourish. Drop the bracelet entirely. Next hand you shake, next skin you touch within 2 minutes, gets the nanos. Done.
Stefan picked up the box and handed it to BC.
Sweet, BC said. Big nights tonight, huh?
Stefan said. Christmas Eve? BC played dumb.
Funny, Stefan said. You are buying killbots. Easy to figure you're after Simone Pose on her one trip home all year.
BC held the box, looking at it.
Shh!
BC shushed him.
I'm speaking English, Stefan said. We're good.
He broke off.
Stefan looked distracted, as if he had heard something. Hey! Stefan jumped up and bolted towards the hallway, pulling out a small blaster. Who else is here? BC stood up, far too late to stop him. No one! BC shouted. He started after Stefan.
Bullshit! Stefan called back as he ran down the hall. I can sense these things. Naha!
As BC arrived in the hallway, Stefan came back down it with the kid in front of him, hands over his head. Stefan held a small blaster to the kid's back. Al had been able to change. He was now dressed as a priest, though BC's clothes did run a little long for him.
Who's this? Stefan asked. Your little brother? Spying? What the fuck?
Stefan shepherded BC and the kid out of the hallway and over towards the table, keeping his blaster pointed at both of them.
I know this guy.
How?
From where? Wait a second.
When he finally got to see the guy's face, Alibi recognized Stefan. He was younger, but he was still. Finder? Alibi asked. Huh? Stefan said. Who? BC asked. You're Finder, right? Alibi said. I know you. Alibi's question confused Stefan.
You know me? Stefan said. Why the fuck call me Finder then? Not my name.
Stefan looked grim. BC could tell the kid didn't know how dangerous the man was. How did he know him? In the future, he said he came from? Didn't matter. Might be enough to distract Stefan. BC edged over towards the table, but kept his back toward it so he could still face Stefan and the kid.
Finder. That is a kinda cool name, Stefan said. But shit! If you know me, now I gotta kill you both.
Stefan brought up his blaster, considering who he should try to shoot first. He looked ready to kill.
Stefan, wait,
BC protested as he backed up against the table, right arm behind his back, with the left out in front of him, aimed at Stefan in a stop gesture. Alibi wondered if he looked as scared as he felt. He was in a little over his head. But he was sure of one thing. Stefan was Finder. But Alibi was genuinely surprised at how ruthless Finder was as his younger self, Stefan. He'd either mellowed as he'd gotten older, or hit it better.
None of this was in our deal, Campion,
Stefan shouted. I know, look. As BC waved his open palm at Stefan, Alibi saw the hand BC kept behind him grab for the big Christmas candle and slide it up against his back, where he could get a good hold of it. Alibi figured BC could use a distraction. He grabbed his stomach with one hand and grabbed at the air in front of him with the other.
I'm sorry, Alibi feigned. Think I'm gonna be sick.
Stefan looked his way, angry. He turned and leveled the blaster at Alibi.
Oh, for fuck!
BC brought the candle down hard on the back of Stefan's skull with a shud, ending his sentence abruptly. As Alibi looked on, shocked, BC's little laser pen was suddenly in his hand and shooting Stefan as he lay face down on the ground. A thin laser line beamed down with a flash.
Don't kill him,
Alibi protested.
Quiet, BC barked. Just a heavy stun.
He finished firing. BC and Alibi looked down at the unconscious Stefan.
Or Finder.
We have to get him out of here, BC said. Like now.
He moved to grab the man's left arm.
Got on his right, BC said. I'll take his left, and we'll escort our drunken friend downstairs.
Between them, BC and Alibi maneuvered Stefan downstairs
and out the front door of the rectory. As they half-dragged, half-carried Stefan down the front steps toward the busy street, Alibi noticed the heavy security presence. Armed security guards stood on either side of the main rectory door. Two more were nearby, at the foot of the front steps. "Too much nog," BC joked in Spanish with one of the guards on the sidewalk. BC flagged down an autocab capsule, a small self-driving flying taxi. BC and Alibi placed the unconscious Stefan Finder in the passenger capsule. BC punched in an address, then lifted Stefan's arm and waved it at the credit sensor. "You have the credit?" BC asked in Spanish. The sensor flashed green. "Good. Get our friend home safe to Buenos Aires. Thanks." BC and Alibi watched the cab fly away. "Father Campion!" BC and Alibi's heads turned as someone called to BC.
"It's Bishop Soul," BC said to Alibi in a whisper. "Keep quiet."
The bishop walked over to BC and Alibi. He looked puzzled. "I've been looking for you," he said to BC. "And who's this?"
"This is Father Alexander, visiting from the Vatican," BC responded, BSing on his feet.
"He brought me some things I need, and my private communiques." The two men spoke in Spanish. Alibi had no idea what they were saying. The bishop turned to Alibi.
"Hello, Father," the bishop said. "I'm Bishop Soul."
Alibi looked a little panicked.
"I'm sorry, Bishop Soul. He doesn't speak Spanish," BC explained to the bishop.
BC switched to English.
"Father Alexander, this is Bishop Soul."
"Honored to meet you, sir," Alibi said. The bishop looked Alibi over, assessing him. Alibi bowed a little to the bishop, but the bishop had already turned back to BC, apparently forgetting about Father Alexander, as he would any errand boy.
"Funny," the bishop said, still in Spanish. "I'd heard your guest was a less savory sort."
He changed the subject. "Just came from the sacristy," the bishop said to BC.
"Could use some more hands getting the cathedral in order for our mass and our honored guests this evening."
"Can you and the father here, if he's staying, head over and help?"
"Certainly, Father Rick," BC responded. "I was actually just about to show the father the cathedral."
"Very good. Carry on, then," the bishop said. He turned and headed up the rectory steps.
"What did he say? Was that okay?" Alibi asked.
"I couldn't tell. I don't know any Spanish."
"It was fine," BC said. "Fine." BC turned and gestured for Alibi to follow him.
"Let's get over to the church," BC said, "so you can show me that box."
That was Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, BC isn't all buddy-buddy like Alibi kind of maybe thought he might be, but then again, BC doesn't really know who Alibi is. And now we've got Finder involved, or Stefan, as he was known. Hope you can come back for Part 3, our conclusion, of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, next week's episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Remember the news? Quick recap, I'm at Balticon next weekend. More details at balticon.org. And please support this podcast on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and sign up. If you sign up at the $5 or higher level, I'll hook you up with a free audiobook. Vatican Assassin audiobook. And that is all for this time around. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.